Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a four-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where today we have Bruce Lavelle, yes, the Atlanta businessman, entrepreneur, longtime confidant of President Donald Trump, a longtime RNC surrogate, trusted voice in conservative politics in the African-American community, in the business community. He's going to join us to talk about what's next for Donald Trump. I want to know what he has to say. I think we're all trying to guess what will be next for the 45th president. What will he do to leave a legacy to influence the 2022 elections, to possibly run in the 2024 elections? We'll ask about all those things with Bruce Lavelle. He's an insider who will know the latest thinking inside Team Trump about the future of our 45th president. Meanwhile, before we get to that interview, and I really want to spend the most of the time today with Bruce because he knows so much. And, you know, he's also really understands what's going on in the small business community, the entrepreneurial community. The Biden agenda is starting to have an impact, take a bite out of some of small business. One of the dynamics that a lot of people forget is during the Trump years, African-American and Hispanic small business owners went up. They grew. Their economy grew. Now there's some worry that the economy may contract with inflation, with increased regulation, with new increasing energy prices related to the cancellation of the Trans-Canada pipeline and other environmental regulations that the left wants. Bruce is going to give us a skinny on that. We want to talk to him. But before we do that, I wanted to point out a couple stories on Just the News today because I think they get to some of the more important scandals, things that maybe mainstream news outlets aren't reporting, but I think are important to understand. Just old-fashioned facts. You can't miss this. It is truly facts. By the way, the 20 Days of Infamy story I told you about yesterday, it's up on the site. Check it out. A lot of new documents in there you can download if you're keeping up on all the developments and the unraveling of the Russia collusion case. This story is a very important one. A lot of robust documents. All right, but before we get to that, I want to get to two other stories. First off, last night we learned that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, and federal prosecutors have opened an investigation into Andrew Cuomo and his administration's handling of nursing home deaths. The fundamental question is, did they try to obstruct justice? Did they try to obstruct the Trump Justice Department Attorney General Bill Barr from seeing the true scope of the deaths in New York's nursing homes caused by Andrew Cuomo's executive order sending COVID patients infected back to the vulnerable populations in the nursing homes? That is an obstruction of justice case, a conspiracy case. It's at its earliest stages. Listen, I'll say this because I said it for President Trump as well. Andrew Cuomo deserves the benefit of the doubt until we get all the facts out there. But right now, it seems pretty clear from the testimony, the statements of his own advisors. There was a cover-up that went on during 2020. The true scope of death and destruction that his executive order caused is now going to be under investigation by the FBI, federal prosecutors. That's worth checking out. Headline on that story, you can find it in the news, not noise section right now. FBI federal prosecutors investigating Cuomo administration's handling of nursing home deaths. Check that out. It's an important one. Another story that's trending big on the site, and I think it's an important one because it reminds us of the topic we're going to talk to with Bruce Lavelle in just a second, the continuing clout of Donald Trump in the Republican Party. My good colleague Nick Sherman wrote a story this morning saying that six of the seven Republican senators who voted to convict former President Trump at his impeachment trial last week, last Saturday it was exactly, have been rebuked already in their home states, either by party organizations or grassroots voters. The list is there, from Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy to Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. We saw Ben Sasse. He got quite a bit of whack. Richard Burr censured already. The list goes on. Even Mitt Romney is facing some backlash in his home state with grassroots conservatives who've launched an online petition to censure him, although the GOP party in Utah right now is unwilling to do that. So they've turned down that request. But I bet you that's not the end of that dispute. In Alaska, Lisa Murkowski, who I predict will be one of Donald Trump's biggest primary targets next year if the president stays in the political arena. Lisa Murkowski up for re-election next year. I bet the president spends a lot of time pumping up a challenger to her. What's going on there? At least six of the state House districts have voted to censure her. That's a large amount of the state. Pretty resounding verdict that Republicans in Alaska aren't happy with her vote. So check out that story. Nick Sherman just joined us this week as a reporter. We're really excited to have him aboard. Good story. It's trending as the number one story at Just the News right now for a good reason. A lot of other people have not been covering the impact, the fallout of those senators' votes. We've done it for you. The list is there. All of the details are there. You can check it out. Go into the Dig In article. Learn everything you need to know. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Bruce Lavelle joins us. Yes, someone who knows what the discussions are inside the Trump world, inside the conservative world, inside the business world, inside the African-American and Latino communities in America. He'll be up next to give us all of his insights on what's next for America's 45th president right after this commercial break. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, a man who knows President Trump very well, knows Republican politics and the conservative movement about as well as anyone in it. Bruce Lavelle is joining us. He's been a longtime advisor to President Trump and also as a senior RNC surrogate. Bruce, good to have you on the show today.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to give you a really easy question. There's no hard. This is an easy one. What's Donald Trump going to do next? That's just such a certain area. where does MAGA and you see this? I could, Monday at President's Day, you see this incredible spontaneous rally as he's coming back from golf in Palm Beach, Florida. It's obvious that his movement wants him to stay in the game and make MAGA bigger. And he's obviously made some comments suggesting he will. Where does he go?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, John. Well, first of all, he's going to keep going. You got to remember, and the other thing, too, as it relates to the huge crowd that stood around him during I call it the motorcade, as he was riding through. Imagine if we didn't have such a liberal city council, and that's another subject about trying to vote that he can't live there and all the silliness and all that. Imagine, but listen, that place would have filled up the whole city if we had not the COVID situation, just for FYI.
It's amazing.
So you saw a lot of people, it would have quadrupled. But anyway, the movement's going to continue. The president is the vehicle and the vessel. And he is the type of person, and people get a little emotional out there that why is he still out here fighting on the election? Because the president knows when he loses and when he wins. Let me make that clear. Uh-huh. And you got to remember, 45 years as a developer, as a business guy, he's had some unfortunate calls on some real estate deals or some development deals. We all have in some capacity as business people. Myself here in Atlanta, 27 years, I've developed projects.
Sure.
Some good ones and not so good ones. But we also know how to identify and to regroup and come back and rebuild and to do it better. So with that being said, for all the millions of listeners you have out here, John, one thing I can tell you, quote, about the president, I call him the president, is the fact that he identifies, okay, I did this over here. I got to adjust this. I can't put this type of steel on this building. I got to put this steel to make it structurally more intact, strong. So this is how his brain thinks. So now he's regrouping. He's analyzing the playing field. And I'll be honest with you, there was a great interview. I think it was Larry King or one of them, John, where he was being asked about relationships. And when you go through tough times and when you lose a lot of things, or you lose almost everything, how it conditions you, how it really lets you see who's really with you in the vision, who really standing with you. And I know this is really bumpy right now, especially for all your listeners now, is it's actually kind of healthy in a lot of ways because, we can, doom and gloom, with the situations in the November elections and how things were treated and how the cancel culture, we can dwell on that.
Right.
But we got to look at the optimism here. We got to look at 2022, 2024. We got to look at the accomplishments. We got to look at, okay, we did it this way, we did it that way, but let's try it this way. But with that being said, Brother John, is that it's actually a great situation that we're going through to really vet out the folks who really were in it for their own special personal what they wanted and not the actual movement. Remember, President Trump represents the actual 75 plus billion. He's the vessel, the vehicle of America First movement. It's not him as a cult sensation. He's the vehicle that God's put in there to be the vehicle, the vessel of this message. And we are the ones that are with him. That's why it's always we. It's not me with him. He says we did this. We did that. We.
He does.
So
that's
the great optimism.
He talks about the movement in the large all the time. And, I had a chance to talk to him before he left office, and you really got a sense of his frustration that Republicans, there are two Republicans. There are the MAGA Republicans, and then there are the traditional Republicans. And the traditional Republicans, he felt like give up too easy. And it isn't just about the election. It's about policy fights and and I think he's looking for a new type of Republican who's tougher and can take on Democrats who aren't afraid of a fight and aren't afraid to use any tactics in a fight. Do you have a sense that what he would like to accomplish in 2022 is to get more MAGA Republicans in the party and fewer establishment Republicans?
Well, as soon as I call it the dust settles, you're going to see him, I'm sure, be a little more vocal coming soon, and probably even more vocal as we get closer to obviously 2022 for some congressional seats and Senate seats, as well as some governors that are going to have a tough time. Also, in addition to possibly 2024, I'll just put it there like that. But, I think at the end of the day, as we look back at 2015 and went into the White House in 2017, January, President Trump stuck an olive branch out there from some of the guys I've been there. I said, listen, and the very ones that he liked, you know, he talked some really good trash.
Right, of course.
Said, look, come on over here now. It's over. Now let's try to build this. Really did fit the olive branch. And, of course, you know what that did. It brought some unfortunate swamp rats in key appointed positions that created the leaks and the drama and, and the resistance. And, like, oh, my God. So in all defense for President Trump, he literally did try to, like, reconcile, like, all right, guys, enough, come on, let's build this. So now he realized, like, you know what? Y'all, you, listen, I'm bringing you to the baptismal pool, but you don't want to lay down in the water. So I guess we're going to have to go over here and bring some of these folks over here. So with that being said, you saw the great Congress folks that got elected this November 4th, Congressman Donald's down in Florida, my good friend Burgess Owens, these really strong, powerful women, my gangster lean OG Marjorie Greene next door to me in the next neighboring county, because I am
right.
in Atlanta.
That neighboring county, too, that's right.
And that gunslinger down there in Colorado, I say that respectfully, gunslinger, respectfully, Goldberg down in Colorado. So there's many, many great Congress folks that got elected that have the America First agenda. And if you watch them, John, they're still continuing the America First movement. A lot of people say, oh, they're just cult, you know, Trump followers. Like, no, they're part of the movement.
Yeah,
and that's why I try to let people understand this is not some kind of cult following with as a Trump cult follower. This is a movement bigger than all of us, John. And that's pretty much why the president keeps saying, quote, we don't worship government. We worship God. You saw that in his inauguration speech.
I did.
Gently slided to rain. I was right there next to him.
Right.
Well, not next to him, but close by. But also the fact that he always says, we did this, we. So that's something that resonates with a lot of passion with America that's been through the financial crash of 08, saw the pay to plays and the bailouts and the unfortunate situations where that was dealt with, even back from earlier on in the 80s from the SNL. And a lot of things, John, that special interests had so much dominion on their elected officials to sway them to vote a certain way. And that's essentially what's going on right now. And that's why, you know, listen, I never really expected Mitch McConnell and some of those guys that have been in there for 100 years on both sides of the aisle to really understand the MAGA movement, the America First movement. I really didn't expect them to. So in all fairness to them, you know, they will perish out of their seats because of the lack of knowledge and the willingness to want to entertain the knowledge of the MAGA America First movement. And that's okay. Just go sit down to the side. We'll get someone to take your seat. It's okay. And we saw my good friend Lara Trump, who let me tell you, that's a game changer in North Carolina. Listen, there's many folks. I just came off Newsmax talking about when Limbaugh leaves, these new young Don Bonginos and all these young people that we have resurrected this America First movement. So, John, I'm optimistic about the future. You know, I'm not going to sit up here. You can tell in my voice, this is real. This isn't some staged conversation with John and your viewers.
Everyone who thinks that Donald Trump was a four-year phenomenon makes that assumption at their own risk.
Well, I'm biased because I know him well.
Yeah, it's a much larger movement. And, when you talk to the people at the base of it, they've got unfinished business. They want to get the rest of the job done. And I think so. If you look at the next 2 years, how can President Trump shape the 2022 elections? Candidate recruitment, fundraising. What are think tanks in developing the Trump doctrine or the Make America Great doctrine bigger and more defined and draw differences with Biden? What are some of the options that you think the president has in his arsenal?
Well, he has a tremendous arsenal, you know, and, you know, he's actually been so far and vocal to some of the sitting governors that weren't so friendly to him when there were some strong conversations of the appearance of improprieties, and especially these battleground states as it relates to the, quote, mail-in ballots that had no chain of custody, no supervision. And, you know, Amistad Group, I know that group very well. I've actually
Larry Klein's a good friend of mine. Or Phil Klein, a good, very good friend of mine.
Yeah, and I've talked about that, you know, and I've actually, listen, you know, John, pivoting back on that, I've actually talked to some old school Democrats that went into that ballot box, especially during the runoff between Warnock, Ossoff, and Kelly Loeffler, And, you know, when David Perdue was in there and the old school Democrats said, Bruce, I don't even know if my vote's going to count, you know, because of the climate and the culture of how the mail-in ballots had no accountability. Absentee ballots were mailing in weeks after, you know, all of this, you know, and the fact that Zuckerberg, you know, was able to accomplish, you know, spending up to an excess of $400+ million in, quote, advocacy, John, yeah. on voter, you know, to prioritize. Now
you had a great tweet on this. Box. I mean, we did a lot of work on that. I filed a lot of the FOIAs with Phil, mm-hmm. and we dug out a lot of the new information about Zuckerberg's money and the influence and the targeting. And, you know, it wasn't just to help election officials put on an election. It was designed to get a very specific constituency to vote more. And that's influence money, right? That should be regulated by the Federal Election Commission. Do you think there's enough will in the Republican Party in the key states, Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania, to ban such large oligarchical money coming into the election and to, you know, take on mail-in balloting and get the rules back to where they were prior to 2020?
I know in Georgia we got some strong state reps and some strong senators. However, some of our leading constitutional officers that I question. And let me go into this, John, real quick, just for the listeners here. Remember, the whole base and the core of Donald J. Trump's candidacy was not being beholden to special interests and not taking special money.
Right.
Now, by the grace of God, God blessed him with a tremendous amount of wealth. So he was able to self-fund a lot of his campaign, obviously in the early stages, especially the primaries. I think it was $45 million up to the month of April from the time of 2016, which is phenomenal. You know, and you saw Jeb Bush spent $80 million in Iowa just to run attack ads on one caucus alone. So that says in itself what the movement was about. But the most powerful component that the president possesses is that narrative. And those are the narrative. That's what we're looking for from the city council seat, from the state rep seat, to our probate judges, our district courts, superior courts, you know, district attorneys. These are the folks that we're enticing and want to run for these seats who will not be beholding and take PAC, you know, large special interest money. So then they're control. And see, that's why, you know, John, respectfully, nothing really surprised me on Mitch McConnell, a lot of these guys, because they have paved their way through their office through special interest and pay to play. And listen, both sides are guilty of this.
That's right.
This is not just a Democrat.
Yeah, that's the dirty secret of Washington. That's right.
Yeah, this is a thing that's being unraveled. And you saw the president making deals over there at the DOD, how he got on the phone and made the deal on the negotiating the embassy for in Israel,
right,
and how much money he saved. You know, we can go on and on, deals, you know, regulation cuts. For every one you bring, you cut two.
Right.
You know, that was $1 billion of cutting regs right out the gate January 17th. So these are game changers. But also, John, you realize when you make these type of game changes, it affects the special interest money. So essentially, that's what the war is essentially all about. Now, some of these key battleground states like Georgia and some of these other states, there are Republicans who hold some of these seats who are birthed through that special interest. And for example, the Secretary of State, Brad Ratzenberger, here at Secretary of State, there's no way in the world he should ever went into agreement with Stacey Abrams. This is my wheelhouse, ladies and gentlemen. I am a civil rights child. I live in Atlanta. My uncle marched with Dr. King, and he was close friends with Ralph Abernathy.
Sure.
With the SCLC. I know the story. I'm late 50s. I've seen the situations in the 60s as a little boy. I understand it. I get it. However, every means and ability to vote, if you want to vote, John, my brother, you can vote on Saturday. You can early vote. You can vote on Sunday. You can – there are thousands of ways to be successful to get to the polls. This is what bothers me when other folks are pushed. We got to address the voting rights. And see that right there. And Republicans got to be strong. And just for common sense factor, like, there are too many ways to be successful to get to the polls.
Right.
It really, honest to God, is. And I would be the first to bark out and scream to the highest mountain based on my legacy, understanding where we come as a nation as it relates to the, quote, poll test in the 50s and the 40s that my uncle and my dad saw. So to bring that back to this 2020, 2021 is absurd, because there's too many ways to be successful to get to the polls. Therefore, you don't need all these other means and ways of putting votes in that don't have chain of custody, that don't have accountability. Because at the end of the day, like I told, listen, I go on networks and I tell my Democrat friends, I got to do a speaking engagement here Friday with half the panel's Democrats in Atlanta. And I told Barron, he's one of my guys I fussed with on CNN during the campaign. I said, remember, this can be you. And this doesn't make it right. I know you're all beating your chest on the other side over there. You got right. Biden in office. Yep, yep. You got all this shenanigans. I said, but this could be you. So you need to think about this. What's fair for all? So it is going to be challenging. But, John, you're absolutely right. It's going to take a MAGA backbone type of candidate that wants to run and serve in that capacity. You know, as they say in the church down here, I want you to serve for a while, but don't get too comfortable. Because after a while, I need you to go sit down. We got to put somebody else in there so you don't get complacent and content. So that's essentially what this movement's about. And that's what we're trying to really convey, that the president's movement. It's not a Trump cult movement. It's America first. I mean, come on. My God, John, what's wrong with making a Zenith an RCA? You know, what's wrong with bringing that beautiful shoe company, you know, Johnston Murphy, back to Tennessee, where those shoes are made in Tennessee, right, not in India, brother? Come on.
Yeah, no,
what's wrong with chanting that? What's wrong with the Maytag man coming and have those Maytags made in Ohio or in the Rust Belt? You know, so I think respectfully, we've got to get back to believing back in ourselves. And that's all the president was doing,
yeah,
is putting the chant back in. You know, I tell my friends, it's like, you know, they get, well, that sounds racist. I said, really? When you go to the Olympics, who are you cheering for?
Yeah.
Well, America. Okay, what's wrong? Other countries cheer for their country. What's wrong with cheering for our country? We're great. We're the best. We can do this. We can do that. Where do you think that comes from? John, in order for you to be successful on this great podcast that you have, which you've done a magnificent job, you had to speak it. Someone told you, John, you got to start a podcast, brother. You got a great voice for America. You got a good pulse. Now look what you're at. You're over 4 or 5 million listeners now. But someone had to speak it to you, John.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing. That's what the president does. You got to speak it so it comes into existence. Then you start building because someone believes in a vision.
And there's when you look at the landscape, there's no one that has Donald Trump's voice anywhere in the Republican Party. And that's why 82-83% of people are you know, still wanting him in the game every day, because the rest of the party, you know, maybe there's some up-and-comers, obviously, with new folks every day. But with the stature and stamina, he has the one voice in the Republican Party that can make a difference and can go up against that big Democratic machinery that, you know, scares the heck out of a lot of Republican establishment, Republicans particularly.
Yeah.
In a little bit of time we have left, I want to ask you about the early Biden agenda. So we've got, you know, 11,000 union jobs erased on day one, 1.4 to 2.7 million in jobs lost if the $15 minimum wage goes up. Gas prices are climbing. Oil is up closing in on $60 a barrel. Could be at 70. That makes Vladimir Putin a lot more strong. There's an instant record to run against for Republicans. Do you think that the Americans are ready to hear the truth about the Biden agenda and its real impact on the dinner table, the checkbook? Is that a real opportunity that the next few months for Republicans to get out there and explain the difference of what Donald Trump achieved and what Joe Biden's unraveled?
Good question, John. But here's something that's going to hurt what I'm about to say. The reason why the president was so successful, let's talk about the minority community, okay? Yeah. That's my wheelhouse, Diverse Coalition. I was privileged to start up one of the largest coalitions for him in 2015,
right,
which we got 9% of the black vote in 16, which we got 14% in 2020. Now, President Donald John Trump, the quote, accused racist, after 40 years of the public eye, that he gets called that, lands the largest turnout in minority votes in the history as a Republican president since 1960. And I'll be honest with you, it could have been stronger, but that's another subject.
Right.
So here's the void here, Brother John. A lot of the losses around this great nation in our Senate seats in Georgia and other runs across the nation outside of the crazy mail-in ballots. But President Donald John Trump was the only one that really truly understood how to go in there and ask for the black vote or Latino vote aggressively. What the hell do you have to lose? Right. Look at your seats, streets. Look at that's bold talk.
It is.
Let me show you what I can do. Then what does he do? He gets the lowest black unemployment in my lifetime, John.
Right.
1972, that's when they start recording it. So with that being said, he was the only one that was visionary behind, way beyond that. The reason why a lot of these guys lost, John, is because they didn't adapt that same mentality, that thought process. That's why they lost. They had no coalitions. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, we can throw the ballot so far. Yes, that's crazy too. But at the end of the day, if you're going to and listen, we accuse the Democrats going in black communities, promising the world, and then doing nothing, come back 4 years later. That's true.
Yep.
But what legacy do we have as Republicans towards the minority vote? Only thing I can see the success is Donald John Trump.
You look at small business, the growth of African American and Latino small businesses under Donald Trump was historic, and they're now through COVID and now the new agenda, they're in grave danger of seeing all those gains erased.
Yeah. And so instead of speaking it, John, the candidates and everyone that's out there listening that's aspiring to run for office, you got to go on the urban markets, the urban radios, the urban publications, and sell the story about building your business, building your generational wealth. I'm a successful guy here in Atlanta. I came to town with $35. In 9 years, I was a millionaire. I'm a rich guy. Yeah. Yeah. So I understand that passion. I understand, of quote, the generational wealth of the business. Listen, John, there's 30 million small businesses in this great country. Small business, we make up 62% of the GDP. So there's only a small percentage of minority business. So the president's like, listen, look in your communities. You're in a black community. Why don't you own the grocery store? Now, no disrespect to some of my Arab brothers and sisters and Korean brothers and sisters that come in and build businesses in black communities. But I say that's fine. If that, God bless you, no disrespect.
Right.
You know, but why not say, well, why don't you own the gas station? You're 98% of your patrons are African Americans, but you don't own the gas station.
Yeah.
There's one black gas station owner in Clayton County here in South Georgia and one in Memphis. This is my wheelhouse now, brother.
Yep.
So that's the key where the president challenged and said, listen, build your retail commodities, build your business, build your family. Let's talk about the justice system, about these 20, 30-year sentencing on nonviolent offenses, locking away the black man away from the home.
Right.
And then addressing, incentivizing a black woman who has children in a project but does not allow her to put a man in the house with a cut and subsidies off. This is real talk coming from him, man.
Yeah.
So this is success. Now, unfortunately, look, you know, we were overrun by mainstream media cutting us off, and I knew we were being affected, John. I know I'm getting long-winded, but the problem was that I knew a year and a half ago when they stopped asking me and Pastor Darrell and me and all these guys that spent 3 years on CNN, MSNBC, and people said, why are you out there? I said, because it's easy to go on to the audience that everyone's going to agree with, but go out there and ask the question. Like, listen, I know you don't like this person, but what about if we try it like this? And I knew we were starting to get the message when we started getting canceled on the shows.
They knew it was starting to break through.
Oh, my God. Because I was starting to, like, listen, it's like this. You know, as a Christian, John, if I can get an opportunity to talk to some lost folks and some folks who are struggling through alcohol or whatever they're struggling, I want to talk to them. Hey, let me tell you what happened over here, man. Let me tell you what we can offer. But I don't ever want to be in a situation where I can't have access. And they knew we were getting through, and they shut us out, and they turned around.
I've heard that from so many people.
Yep.
The message was resonating. So they just turned off the pipeline. They wouldn't let you talk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just got to stay diligent and stay strong and not let the cancel culture immerse us into questioning our ability to achieve and to be successful. And I, you know, I'm just more motivated. You know, people are like, I do 5 or 6 hits a week. I haven't stopped. People are like, well, what do you think? I was just going to go lay down. I said, this is a movie.
Not happening.
This ain't going to stop. Come on.
Your optimism
I'm
is
really
the
excited about it. I think we're going to be stronger. I think it's going to be healthy. I think a lot of Americans, especially now, you saw him putting more incentives on illegal immigrants, and he's even trying to take the word away, illegal immigrants. And he babbled at a town hall talking about minorities don't even know how to use the internet. This is going viral. I just tweeted this out. It's got almost a million hits.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting here like, and people are like, what's going on? I said, what do you expect? That's Joe being Joe. What did you think? He wrote the crime bill. What do you think he cares about? Come on, guys.
Yeah, there's so much material.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because I really feel sorry for Joe Biden. I think he has some early stages. I had uncles that went through forgetting things and babbling and doing things. It's sad they propped this man up knowing he's sick and put it and locked him in the basement and ran his campaign. This is sad.
Well, the American people are very perceptive. They pick up on these things. The media might not, but the American people do. That's the great part about it. And we're so lucky to have you, Bruce, out there helping people be optimistic, get back in the game. There's no reason to be pessimistic. Man. It's about being optimistic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up for today, Bruce. But I want to get you back on because I have so many other questions I want to go through with you. And so we'll get you back on soon. And thank you all that you do for this great country and for setting such a great model of success and optimism for what makes America so great.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, folks, we're going to come back in a second and wrap things up for the day. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Bruce. A lot of insight, a lot of passion. I think the point he made about small business owners and their frustration with the Biden agenda, particularly African-American and Latino small business owners who thrived under the Trump policies and now are worried about rising energy costs, potential inflation, increased regulatory compliance costs. That's a dynamic to watch for. We'll see if Republicans are smart enough to engage on that issue. But I have a strong suspicion that this is going to become an increasing issue undercurrent as we head into the 2022 and 2024 elections. Of course, he had a lot of great insights into President Trump and what is next for the team Trump all across the country. I want to thank Bruce for spending so much time with us today. All right, folks, we'll be back tomorrow with some more exclusive reporting, some more exclusive stories, and of course,
another big guest. We'll let you know who that is in the morning. Until then, have a blessed night. May God bless America as he always has. May he bless your family. I hope you're staying warm. If you're in one of the areas getting winter storms like we are here in Washington, D.C., stay warm. My thoughts and prayers are with all of our great citizens in Texas, all of our listeners in the great state of Texas who are still dealing with power outages and cold unlike anything Texas has seen in a long time. We're worried for them as well. Our prayers and thoughts are with you, and may God bless you tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully to warm your hearts with some new news and some new interviews with John Solomon Reports and, of course, justthenews.com. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.